Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21 on page 865. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it."
Now, I wonder how you'd respond if the following message appeared on your mobile phone. "Emergency alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." Well, you may know that was the message that every mobile phone owner in the US state of Hawaii received on Sunday, the 14th of January. Unsurprisingly, it plunged people into widespread panic that an attack, presumably from North Korea, was imminent. It took a full 38 minutes for a second message confirming that it had been a false alarm to be sent out. Apparently the whole thing was started simply by an employee pressing the wrong button. Now the fact is that you and I are bombarded with messages all the time. At work, news outlets, social media, information we have to process, digest. Which ones do we act upon? Which ones do we ignore? Which ones do we file in the in-tray to be dealt with later? And then amidst all of that, here we are at a Tuesday lunchtime, the Aldersgate Talks, and we're hearing yet another message, the message of the Bible. Well, how do we respond to that? Do we regard it as something that's to be acted upon as of utmost importance? or something which we can file away and not really do very much about it, or something which we think, yes, I will act on it, but not quite yet. Well, we're at the end, as Claire said, of a series of talks in Luke chapters 7 and 8. And I've been trying to capture Luke's aim for these chapters in the New Year maths equation, which you'll see there at the top of the outline. Luke's aim in these chapters is that we have a big view of Jesus and a big view of the salvation that he brings. Because having a big view of Jesus is the engine which will then drive a big discipleship. In other words, a life-transforming discipleship. The alternative, of course, is a small view of Jesus, which barely has an impact on our lives at all. And in this middle section of Luke 7 and 8, it's all about our response to Jesus. So if you were here last week, two weeks ago, if you were here two weeks ago, in chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, we saw how to respond to Jesus' salvation, how we should respond to the message of forgiveness. Do listen if you missed it. And today, chapter 8, verses 4 to 21, how Jesus wants us to respond to his word. So, first of all, on the outline, God's kingdom advances as his word is proclaimed. Because right from the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, with the launch of his manifesto, way back in Luke chapter 4, his has been a ministry of proclamation. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's very easy to lose sight of that. Because it's the miracles, isn't it, which so obviously, I guess, grab our attention. And yet Luke reminds us that Jesus Christ was essentially a preacher with a message that needed to be heard. Chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Verse 4. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable. He teaches them. As such, of course, it answers the question, how do I receive the salvation, the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has come to bring? How do I receive that 2,000 years after Jesus walked on earth? Well, the answer, through hearing God's word. That's the focus. I don't know if you picked it up as Andrew read the passage for us, but it's the focus, isn't it, of this whole section. So verse 8, as Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11, we're told the seed in the parable is the word of God. Verse 18, take care then how you hear. In summary, verse 12, it is by believing the word of God and being saved. It seems so simple, doesn't it? And yet it is vital. If you're here this lunchtime and you're taking a closer look at Jesus, we are delighted you are here. But how do you do that? Well, it is by listening to the words of Jesus. How will colleagues, friends, come to follow Jesus? It's by listening to the words of Jesus. It's why week by week the Bible talk is at the heart of these Tuesday lunchtime meetings. Our aim simply to explain the word of God, because that is how God's kingdom grows. But secondly, it's to the spiritually hungry, because I guess that begs the question, doesn't it? Well, how does Jesus' teaching work? I mean, take parables, for example. So when I was at school, I was taught that Jesus taught in parables to make things easier for people to understand. But actually, that couldn't be further from the truth. Just have a look at verses 9 and 10. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Jesus' parables act as a kind of filter mechanism. They deliberately limit the benefits of Christian faith to the spiritually hungry, to those who will sit at Jesus' feet and listen and learn from him. So you see, just look at verse 8, for example. Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus' invitation is to anyone. It's to everyone. But then notice it's only those who, like the disciples in verse 9, who come to Jesus and want to learn more, it's only those who he then explains the parable to. It's to them that Jesus says, verse 10, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to the others he says, verse 10, for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now what Luke is doing there is that he's quoting from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. I put the verses on the outline so you can look them up later on. The first five chapters of Isaiah show us the spiritual state of God's people. They've turned their backs on God. They refuse to listen to his word. And therefore it is to them that God says, if that's what you want, that is what you will get. I will harden your hearts so that you won't be able to hear or understand. And so you see, what is Jesus saying here in verses 9 and 10? It is that his parables, his teaching, acts as a kind of sifting device. I guess rather like a pair of automatic sliding doors. So if you were to walk up Aldersgate Street, there's Tesco's, isn't there, just on the left-hand side before we get to St Paul's Tube Station. And if you walk up Aldersgate Street with no intention at all of going into Tesco's because you've had such a nice lunch here, then the doors will remain firmly closed. But as soon as you show an interest in going into Tesco's, as soon as you kind of head off in the direction of those doors, then what happens? The doors open in front of you. In the same way, Jesus' parables are designed to filter out the spiritually hungry. He makes a similar point in verses 16 to 18. The truth about his kingdom, the truth about the forgiveness of sins, Jesus says, has been publicly proclaimed like a lamp that's been put on a lampstand so everyone can see it. And therefore, you see, what is now at stake is the way in which people respond. Verse 18. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. You have a choice, says Jesus. The spiritually hungry are given more. Those who show little or no spiritual hunger, why, even what they think they have, will be taken away. So God's kingdom advances as God's word is proclaimed to the spiritually hungry who become part of Jesus' family. Because the section finishes with a snapshot of the spiritually hungry who follow Jesus. And we see theirs is a very, very great privilege. Have a look at verse 20. Jesus was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, isn't that remarkable? Jesus is saying, if you put your trust in him, you are closer to him than his own biological family were. Closer to Jesus than his mother Mary, closer to Jesus than his brother James. Now, that is very timely, isn't it? 2 weeks ago, the Prime Minister appointed a minister for loneliness. She said, for far too many people, loneliness is the sad reality of modern life. I guess it's where we've got to as a culture after 60 years or more of so-called progressive social change. A record number of people, both young and old, living on their own as the family unit has disintegrated. It's why the message of Jesus is such wonderful news. Because those who trust in Jesus, you see, they are not simply his followers or his disciples or believers in him. Yes, they are all of those things. But they are also members of his family. A great, great privilege. So, God's kingdom advances as his word is proclaimed to the spiritually hungry, who then become part of his family. And that just begs one question. which we're going to spend the rest of our time thinking about this lunchtime, and that is, so how will you hear? How will you hear? That's the point of the parable. Let me read verses 11 to 15 again. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word of God, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast and honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Notice, will you, that all four types of soil, all four types of people, hear the word of God. I think we're used to thinking that perhaps the distinctions between those who do hear the word of God and those who don't, in other words, those who are in church and those who aren't. And yes, of course, there is a distinction there. But there's another distinction, says Jesus, and that is amongst those who do hear. And the point of the parable is to make the point that you can hear the word of God to no effect, or you can hear the word of God to great profit. And I guess it would be naive, wouldn't it, to imagine that this same distinction doesn't operate here week by week as God's word is taught. So let's just look at each type of soil, and as we do so, let's think about our own hearts and how we are responding to what we hear. First of all, the seed on the path, verse 12. So someone hears a talk on a Tuesday lunchtime or a talk at a cow service, and it's barely finished, and immediately they're thinking about the next thing in the diary. I've had the experience of bringing people to a guest event, most recently, just a few months ago, a friend, asking them afterwards what they thought about the message of Jesus, and all they could really comment on was the tie that the speaker was wearing. Why? Because the word had been snatched. One commentator writes, "Let us beware of the devil. We shall always find him at church, because the devil would love us not to believe in Jesus. As Luke puts it in verse 12, not to be saved." In other words, it would be quite possible to come to the Aldersgate Talks every week, every Tuesday lunchtime, and be completely unchanged by what we hear. Secondly, the rock, verse 13, someone hears the message of Jesus and they respond with joy. They've never heard anything like it. The Bible comes alive to them. They're spiritually hungry. And yet, sadly, it doesn't last, because they've never really counted the cost. They want to be well thought of. Remember the words of Jesus, chapter 6, verse 22. They're there on the outline. "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." There may be some here for whom this warning could not be more relevant. Perhaps we say to ourselves, well, I'm willing to follow Jesus, but only up to a point. Certainly not if it means I'm going to get stick from others. It's why, of course, if we're looking in on the Christian faith, it's really important that we count the cost, first of all, as we do so. Third, the thorns, verse 14. I think, speaking for myself, I think these probably pose the greatest danger to me, and I imagine to many of us. Notice, will you, that Jesus mentions the cares of life. I guess worries about the mortgage or children or health, education, that kind of thing. He mentions riches, so the desire for wealth, reputation, career advancement, those sorts of things. And he mentions pleasures, you know, the distraction of entertainments or endlessly planning holidays or a helpful relationship or friendship. Notice, will you, that these are the very things our culture says we should value. I think this is very striking. These are the very things our culture says are important and we should value. Just think, if you ever buy a newspaper at the weekends, Saturday or Sunday, and all the different kind of supplements there are, our culture says these are the things we should be chasing after and are important, and yet Jesus says, well, he warns us against them. 3 weeks ago, the singer Dolores O'Riordan died at the age of 46. She'd been the lead singer of the Irish band The Cranberries. Their first album, released 1993, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We? You're very welcome to borrow my copy if you want to borrow it. But that's the pressure we feel, isn't it? Everyone else is doing it, so why can't we? And what's Jesus' answer? Because you are gambling with your soul. These are the very things, he says, that can take us away from him. By contrast, someone told me just 10 days ago how he had just turned a job down, a big job, a bigger salary, for precisely this reason, because actually it wasn't going to help him or his family hear God's word and grow as disciples. What a great thing to do. What a spiritually realistic thing to do. Well, fourthly, the good soil, verse 15. Notice, will you, verse 8, the good soil is, well, it's wonderfully fruitful. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. But why is this person different? Well, verse 15, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. They still hear the word, but it's how they hear the word. The difference lies, notice, in their hearts. They treasure God's word. They hold fast to it with integrity and endurance. They persevere in it. In other words, not hearing and simply becoming more expert on Christianity or more theologically advanced, but in terms of our New Year maths equation, it is hearing so that we end up with a bigger view of Jesus, a bigger view of the salvation that he brings, that promotes a bigger life-transforming discipleship that engages our minds, our hearts, and our wills, the whole of life. Four types of soil, four responses to hearing God's word. Let me ask you what may seem like a slightly random question, but hopefully you'll get the point. How many cookery programs have you watched in the last year? You know, we all know about the Bake Off and Come Dine With Me and MasterChef and all the rest of them. How many have you watched? But then here is the follow-up question. How many of those featured recipes have you actually cooked? Hundreds? Five? Or none? Well, I guess in a similar way, that's the question Jesus wants us to ask about the Bible. You're hearing God's word, but are you doing anything with it? Is it changing us? Let me finish with three applications just to help us think that through a little bit. First of all, we are to listen carefully today. Listen carefully today and every day when we hear the Bible being taught. So it's one reason, for example, why here at these talks we always produce a talk outline just to help us. You know, you've had a busy, we all have busy mornings, just to help us to really engage and focus. For those who like to take notes, it's a means of taking notes. It's why we encourage discussion after the talk. It's one reason why we serve lunch, just to provide a little bit more time to chat together and chew things over so that the talk isn't just sort of snatched by the busyness of a Tuesday afternoon. So listen carefully today. Secondly, listen carefully over a lifetime, because, of course, the parable is really about what we do with God's word over a lifetime, over a long period. Yes, verse 8, it's a wonderful promise of great fruitfulness over a lifetime. And I guess while we can't look round, can we, at each other on a Tuesday afternoon and say, well, that person over there, the seed has clearly been snatched, that person over there, it's being choked, and that person over there, they're listening with a good heart. Of course you can't do that. Nonetheless, it is possible to do that over a much longer period of time. And some of us who have been coming to the Aldersgate talks for longer, or perhaps you're in a home church where you've been involved for a number of years, actually you'll be able to see that. And sadly, there will be those who have been choked, And joyfully there will also be those who in whom God's word is being fruitful. So listen carefully over a lifetime. Thirdly, understand how Jesus' kingdom grows. Because, of course, the parable addresses, doesn't it, the whole issue of strategy. It is as God's word is broadcast far and wide that his kingdom grows. And the various responses here in the parable, they are all evidence that God's word is doing its work. As the quality of soil, as the quality of people's hearts towards God is revealed. In other words, it's a mistake to assume and to think that if you preach the message of Jesus in the right way, people will respond in large numbers. It's a mistake to think that. People didn't respond to Jesus in large numbers in that way, and they won't with us either. Indeed, we must expect a variety of responses. When people hear a talk, there will be those. It goes in one ear and out the other. Others will seem to begin the Christian life and then give up. Others are choked by the busyness of life. It doesn't mean that God's word is powerless. Actually, quite the reverse. I'll take it that we'll see all those responses with these Questions for Life events, which are coming up in March. All those responses we will see. But we'll also see those who will hear the word of God, receive it, and with an honest and good heart, and produce much fruit. Because, of course, the real surprise of the parable, despite the seed that's wasted, actually, the real surprise of the parable is how much fruit is produced, the size of the harvest. Why don't I close in prayer? Let's pray together. As for the seed in good soil, Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this reminder of your strategy, how your kingdom grows as your word is taught and proclaimed. And we pray, Heavenly Father, please would you help us to see our hearts as you see them. Please help us to hear your word and to hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and to bear much fruit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.